I'm speaking today with Tom Doyle from Uncharted Ministries, and we're looking at a topic that I thought Tom would be best able to kind of help us wade through the minefield of politically charged words and really help us to dig into how we as the followers of Christ can, well, find our place in a bigger story. So, Tom, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Thank you, Ruth. My pleasure.
This is a little bit tricky, so I'm just going to kind of lay out the context for us. Amnesty International made a statement this week involving a very touchy issue and Israel, and they used a word that basically touched off a lot of really strong reaction. The point was, you know, when I talked to you, when I reached out to you to discuss the issue, you were very hesitant to weigh in on any point at all because the vocabulary used had the potential of creating a lot of disturbance. And that's something that we found to be true in general when we deal with, you know, these particular issues. It doesn't necessarily have to be just Israel or Palestine or anything, you know, related to that in specifically. It can also be applied to other types of conflict, you know, Ukraine and Russia, Ireland. For a while there, you couldn't use the words Catholic or Protestant or Jesus Christ, you know, and that prevents then the people who are working on the ground, who are the body of Christ in ministry context situations, from being able to talk about what they're doing because of the fallout that happens. So I guess the question that we have, you know, we have a problem here where we can't even discuss what is God doing in this area without, you know, stepping on a landmine. So first of all, how do we discuss a situation that directly affects the body of Christ when vocabulary gets in the way?
Yeah, very, very good question. I think, you know, I go back to an old quote by Chuck Colson, who said this years ago. He said, if I can label you, then I can dismiss you as irrelevant and cease any kind of dialogue. So if I can label any group of people or a person, then, well, there's no meaningful dialogue left because, after all, they are this, you know. So I think as believers, we have to avoid labels because Jesus has given us our full identity. So that's what we try to live by. Now, the reason I was a little bit hesitant about this is we obviously work with Palestinians and we work with Jews in Israel and love them. We have, I'm discipling someone in Gaza right now and work intensively with Israel too. So we're both. We don't want to define a stance politically. We always want to define it spiritually. But the world tries to force us into political identities. So the fact of the matter is this, it's deeply hard for the Palestinians to live in Israel. It's not easy. Is it apartheid? Well, no, it's not. There's Arabs in the Knesset. There's freedom. Arabs can be citizens in Israel. Now, there are Palestinians in Gaza that can't be citizens in Israel, and it's horrible for them. We go into Gaza and see what they go through there. It's such a difficult life. So we wish there were no borders, there were no walls and all of that, but that's what we have right now. Israel obviously needs security too. But as we started working, Ruth, with Palestinians way back in 2001, we just found the overwhelming majority just did not want to be involved in this political conflict and just wanted to live their life and feed their kids and send them to a good school. And that's one thing that we see Jews and Palestinians agreeing on is they don't want all of this. They don't want this. Now, obviously, there's concerns with terrorism, with Hamas and those things. But the people that really suffer in that is not only Israel, but Palestinians in Gaza and in different places. Now, aside from that, what's happening in the body of Christ? I go back to this verse in Psalm 133. how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. I just love that verse because, Ruth, we've been blessed to be with some amazing Palestinian leaders and some amazing Israeli leaders that loved Jesus, came together, full reconciliation. Gosh, they may not agree on politics and everything like that, but it didn't matter. They truly love each other and they're there for each other. And in fact, one scene that's etched in my mind from years ago was I was privileged to be in Jerusalem for an Easter service. And so we were at the Garden Tomb, and I'll never forget, it was just packed. For those of you that have been to Israel, you've no doubt been to the Garden Tomb. It's just beautiful. And there were hundreds of people there. It could have been 1,000. They don't have 1,000 chairs there, but there were people on the ground, on the gravel, on tree limbs. They were there to celebrate Jesus. And to start, a Palestinian approached the microphone, Palestinian believer, a pastor, a good friend of ours, a Jewish believer, good friend, had the yarmulke on. One prayed in Arabic, the other prayed in Hebrew, and we started the worship service together. They had their arms around each other. And Ruth, I looked around, and it was hard to find someone that didn't have tears just coming down their cheeks. This is a picture of the body of Christ. If we can get this right in Israel, that is a picture for the whole world, because this is an age-old conflict. And so anyway, great things are happening with the body of Christ there. It's hard for the Palestinians, obviously. It's hard for Jews that are in areas like down by Sderot when Hamas is firing out of Gaza. It's so difficult. But you know what? The body of Christ, the believers coming together, is just a beautiful sight in the midst of the conflict. And we've seen it up close and personal. That's what we choose to focus on. Not the rhetoric, not the words. That's what we choose to focus on.
So, you know, when we're talking about this situation and trying to not step on the vocabulary landmines, how do you advise Christians to approach this situation? What should they do?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, here's something I see. I see Christians that tend to side with the Jews over the Palestinians, or the Palestinians because some of the social issues over the Jews, and really dislike one or the other. I think God's heart is big enough to love both of them. And I pray for the body of Christ to love Palestinians and Jews together. Is it messy politically? It is. Probably more than any other place in the world. It's just an absolute mess. And I think many of the problems are unsolvable. And so, not for God, they're not unsolvable, but for current politicians. So we try to, we want to make sure that people have a love for both of them. I'm amazed that somehow people do not know that there's believers that are Palestinians. One of my good friends shares when he comes to America, did you ever think in a church, did you ever think that a Palestinian believer would be addressing your congregation? Most people shaking their head, no. Did you even know there were Palestinian believers? Most of them know. So the church is on both sides. We see Jewish believers, Palestinian believers. And so we have to be for both of them. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We got to be pulling for both of them.
So one of the things, if I heard you correctly, was to try to find some common ground with between the two sides, and then praying about it. How do people pray into the situation?
You know what? We want the best. We would love to see a secure Israel with no walls and no hardships for Palestinians, and you know, no terrorism concerns for Israelis. But the situation we're in, it's not changing anytime soon. So I think as believers, we have to do our best to be ones that are bent on healing and supporting our brothers and sisters in difficult situations. Some of the most touching stories I've seen is when things happened on the Jewish side where there were explosions or whatever. And Palestinians reached out to Jewish brothers and sisters to say, we're praying for you. We're with you. The same thing with things happening in Gaza when Israel was in and Jewish believers texting some of their friends in Gaza that are believers, we're praying for you. Joining together to be there for both sides is really, I think, part of the heart of God. And so we know this, that the devil wants to divide, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And we know that the place where seems to be the epicenter of division is in Israel, the place that Jesus will come back one day. And Jews and Palestinians that love Jesus will be together with the Lord. And so we pray for peace. We certainly want to pray for peace. We pray for a lasting peace. And we just realize there's misery in some of these difficult areas like Gaza and the West Bank and that. And there's misery for Jews in places too. So I don't know if I've done enough to answer your question, but that's where our heart is. And we love them deeply, both sides. And pray that the church won't get caught up in rhetoric that just divides. If you love Israel, pray for Palestinians. If you love Palestinians and are upset with Israel, pray for them. That's a good way to break down walls in our own heart to begin with. So anyway, that's what we hope to do. And again, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, he's the one that brings both sides together. And being in ministry opportunities where there are Palestinians and Jews together praying, oh my gosh, Ruth, unbelievable to be there and see. This is a picture of something only Jesus could do. The United Nations cannot pull this off. Only Jesus can do this. So that's what we pray for, and pray that the body of Christ can understand. You have brothers and sisters on both sides. Love them, pray for them, and ask God for the best for them.